Be careful, I might have noticed something in my schedule. I put a lot of similar subjects together, and because Filippo was actually a replacement speaker, this would have been 3 hours filled with only tests. Glad we saw where safe from that, but let's continue into this test thingy, because tests are important, and many people love them, and many people hate them. So Alessio is gonna take us away with security by testing. Round of applause.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my talk. I'll give you a little introduction about myself. So who am I? My name is Alessio Greggi. I'm a software engineer at Armo Security, the company behind CubeScape. My full-time job actually is to be a cat food opener for my furry friend. But jokes apart, I'm a passionate about reading and taking long walks. You can find me on GitHub and Twitter with this account and the following avatar. But let's start the talk. So I will give you some introduction, some easy concept that can help you to understand better the whole talk. So first question is, what is the code coverage? So code coverage is a metric that we can use. It's a percentage, actually, as a metric, that we can use to understand how many of our source code is covered by tests. Specifically, or better, mostly, it is used to write when we write unit tests, but not only for this kind of test. Let's go a bit more in depth. So code coverage related to Golang. So first time it was introduced in Go version 1.2. It was more or less 10 years ago. I guess it was April 2013, if I remember well. With support for the unit test in this specific article. But the story continued after more or less 10 years. So 1 year ago, the community introduced in Go version 1.20 a new kind of support for tests. This time, it was support for the integration test. So what happened since last year? That we basically sensitively increased the coverage, the percentage of the coverage in our project, of course, if we were already doing integration test. Basically in these 10 years a lot of things changed. They also implemented some nice tool in order to check the coverage, rendering the profiles with an HTML page that you can check on your browser. It's really nice also to use, really helpful. But let's see another concept that is important for this talk. What is a SecComp profile? So first of all, SecComp is a kernel feature, and it helps you to block certain syscalls during the execution of certain program. You can define a SecComp profile as a kind of rule. So you can list all the syscalls that you want to execute or you want to block during the execution of your program. And what else? It is extensively used in the Kubernetes ecosystem, also in Docker. You can attach this security profile when you run a specific pod or container. And the container will use this this SecComp profile in order to check if all the syscalls are enabled to run. And another important thing is that in Kubernetes, if you enable the SecComp default profile feature flag, you can basically use by default the default profile. That is a list of deprecated dangerous, let's say, system calls that you should not use during your execution. So by default, you can use this profile and be quite safe, more or less. But it maybe is better if you do you create your own second profile for the project that you're implementing. So the main idea that I had was to generate a security profile during the test pipeline, since it is probably the best environment when we, of course, if we write a lot of tests, that can help you to run all the syscalls that are included in your project. So the test environment is probably the best candidate to use in order to extract all the syscalls that are going to be executed in your project. So the idea was to generate this second profile, and in case you have your project that is based on Kubernetes, you are developing something related to Kubernetes, the way was to create an init container that can inject the second profile into the node and use the security context with a second profile localhost in order to attach this security profile that you just injected into the node. And that's one example. So you have the init container that download the second profile. In this case, it was just a test, but you can think to provide it as an artifact on GitHub or whatever you want. And the application container can use the second profile type localhost by referring to the second profile. Okay, this was the first part of the talk. But now let's see how I try to achieve this goal. I mean, how I try to extract these syscalls from the test. So in this case, we are talking about integration test and unit test. In this case, you can see a kind of execution path of your project. So if you run the project, you are going to have this kind of tree. So with the code coverage, you can understand which part of this tree it has been executed. So you can refer as a metric about your second profile in order to understand which part is missing and how much it could be reliable, since it's a metric that gives you a percentage. So first thing, extracting the syscall from the integration test. So let's say it was the easiest part. So with the integration test, you can build a binary, provide some script that basically checks for expected results. When you run the binary that you built, you can use one of this tracing tool, for example, strace or perf or whatever you prefer, in order to extract the syscalls during the execution of the binary during the test. So this was the first part, but let's see the other one about extracting this information from the unit test. So first of all, it was a bit more complicated, and I'm going to explain why. So the reason is that GoTest actually compile and run the test all at once. So you cannot do strace go test, because otherwise you are going to catch all the syscalls that are not related to the function that you want to trace. Because think that we are speaking about unit test. So we are testing only specific unit, only specific functions, and you want to extract the syscall that are executed during this function. So you cannot do strace go test, first of all. And even if we build the binary, the test binary for the test, we cannot neither do strace .slash test binary, because the test binary could include some noise that could be related to, for example, let's suppose that you have some data file that you want to run against your function, and you open this file and you take this data and you put this data inside your function. So when you do this open file, you are going to catch with strace also this open. So it's not really suitable. So my solution, my personal solution, let's see another step. So the more or less the solution could be split all the steps. First of all, we can compile the binary without running it with a go test. So you can do go test-c followed by the package that you want to build. And consequently, you can, from this binary, extract the function name just by using obj dump followed by --sims. So you can extract the entire symbol of the function that you want to trace. So at this point, let's see.